Hi, and welcome to Chasing the Sun. This is Mark Mohammadpour, health coach for those of you out there who are looking to make a permanent change to weight loss or maintenance, reduce stress, grow in your career, and thrive. You can reach me on Twitter or Instagram at Mark Mo, MarkMoh. Visit my website, chasingthesunpdx.com, or email me at mark@chasingthesunpdx.com. This week, I'm really excited to have two incredible friends of mine, Tracy Lamb and Aaron Mers, on the show. We talk about a wide-ranging variety of topics. This is a two-part series. First part is this week. Second part is next week. We talk about our pets. We talk about our challenges and tips for making career shifts. We talk about management, the impact of managers in our careers. We talk about PRSA, talk about diversity and inclusion. We talk about exercise. We cover a lot in an hour. I've cut it up into two parts. First half is today. Second half is next week. Thank you so much, Aaron and Tracy, for your time. Everyone out there in the U.S., have a wonderful, happy, and safe Thanksgiving. We'll chat soon and enjoy. Hi there. I am really excited to have two near and dear friends of mine on Chasing the Sun this week. We have Aaron Mers and Tracy Lamb. Good afternoon to both of you.
Hi, Mark. It's nice to be here.
Hi, Mark. Thanks for having us.
It is a sunny, gorgeous November day here in Portland, Oregon. And it's just been such an honor to get to know both of you over the last few years through our wonderful PR profession. And we have so much to talk about over the next few minutes / hours. No, I'm going to keep this to under an hour. But we're gonna have a good time. So first of all, I would love to hear from both of you introduce yourselves, talk about where you got to this point in your career, and whatever else our audience should know. Aaron, let's start with you.
Sure, I won't go too far back, but I moved to Portland about 6 years ago from Connecticut. And I have moved coast to coast a couple of times in my career, whether for school or for my personal life or for jobs. And so 6 years ago, I was living in Connecticut and it was not a great fit for me. And I left and I wanted to start over, both personally and professionally. So I decided I wanted to move to Portland, Oregon. It was a trend, still is a trend. A lot of people move to Portland simply because it's Portland. And I only had a couple of acquaintances here. I certainly didn't have a strong network by any stretch. But that didn't worry me. I had moved places not knowing anyone before, and that didn't really scare me at all. And so I wanted to kind of start over. And so I drove across the country with my dog and moved to Portland. And I should mention that I was doing media and public relations in Connecticut. I was working for Mystic Aquarium, which was a fantastic role for me. It was a nice blend of education and tourism and environmentalism. And I really enjoyed it. And I really think it took my career to the next level, being in such a highly visible role in a highly visible institution. Certainly when it comes to media relations and crisis communications, I gained some incredibly valuable experience there. So moved to Portland, and one of the first things I did was get engaged with PRSA Oregon, because I knew I'd recently pursued my APR, and I had never been actively involved in a chapter, but I was seeking connections and friends, and I needed to get a sense for the marketplace, and went to an event and started volunteering the next day and have been engaged ever since in terms of just being a volunteer or a board member. And I still now have a great network through that. And I worked freelance for a little while, and then I was hired by an agency, Brink Communications, here in town. They've grown a lot in the last 6 years since I've worked there. But I was on and off with them, part-time, full-time, back to part-time. And then I landed at Portland State University. So I've been there for nearly 5 years, very happy there. I started doing marketing communications with the Rec Center there, which was a lovely blend of my personal interests and my professional objectives, because I'm very into health and wellness, and fitness has always been a big part of my life. And then about a year and a half ago, I moved to the School of Business, where I'm now the Director of Marketing and Communications, and still really enjoying PSU, and it was a nice advancement opportunity for me.
Erin, that's wonderful, and congratulations, and we're going to get to a lot more about your career in health and wellness and Goose in a second. Tracy Lamb, over to you.
Thank you, Mark. Well, currently I'm the communications specialist at OHSU Center for Diversity and Inclusion.
And OHSU is the Oregon Health and Sciences University.
Yes, that's correct. And I'd like to believe that everything that I have done has led me to where I am today. At least I'd like to think that. I majored in journalism in Boston University, and then my first job out of college was working at a TV station here in Portland, Oregon. And so I've worked in TV news for about 15 years, starting out as part-time writer, then ended up part-time producer, then full-time producer, and finally executive producer of special projects, managing a team of investigative reporters and consumer reporters. So after 15 years of that, I thought it was time to move on. I knew that there was a lot of other things out there I could do. And so I had a nice soft landing where I landed at Make-A-Wish Oregon, where I was communications manager. And that was it was a 180 from my life in TV news. And we can talk a little bit more about lifestyle between news and nonprofit world. But during this whole time, I've been doing a lot of community work. I was chapter president of the Asian American Journalists Association. So did a lot of community engagement with my community in the Asian Pacific Islander community. And did quite a bit of work in the diversity, equity, and inclusion world as well. So 5 years after being at Make-A-Wish, this position at OHSU opened up. And it was really the perfect marriage between communications and diversity, equity, and inclusion. So I applied, and here I am today. So that's the short story.
That's awesome. And I know, but just like Erin, the story could take several hours for you to put context and all that. And it's just wonderful that at this stage of our lives and our careers that we've been able to evolve and change. And that's just one thing I love about this profession, is that we are constantly rewriting it. And so I'm exhibit A, and you two are also wonderful exhibits of that. So just thank you so much. And I'm so really happy to be part of your lives. And so thank you for coming on. This is super awesome. When we were planning this episode and we were chatting through questions, and I had sent a long list of thoughts and stuff, the one thing I omitted was the positive impact that our pets have in our life. And we're going to completely pivot to talking about that, because I have a brand new little Australian Labradoodle named Molly.
Yay, Molly.
Yay, hi, Molly.
Molly is at home right now, and she's being,
adorable.
Adorable, and probably missing her parents, and it's okay, and we'll be back soon to see her. Molly McNichol Mohammedpour. She is almost 4 months, and she's just a little tiny and very cute and cuddly and all that. So, but after I was talking to both of you about Molly, we thought it might be good to talk about our own respective pets and the impact they have on us on so many levels. And so I'd love to hear from both of you. Erin, let's start with you and your Goose, and how you spend time with Goose, and what Goose means to you as it relates to balancing your work and your life.
Yeah, sure. How much time do we have?
I know.
To be clear, Goose is not a goose.
Goose is not a goose. Goose is a dog.
Your dog Goose. Thank you.
Yes. I can talk at great length about Goose. So Goose is a German Shorthair Pointer. He's a high energy endurance breed, a bird hunting dog, though I do not bird hunt. I rescued him about 9 years ago when he was 2 years old, so he's almost 11. And I got him when I lived in Connecticut. And so especially during that time of significant life change, ended a long-term relationship, moved across the country, didn't I? He was the constant in my life, and still is today the constant in my life, and I'm so grateful for that. And I didn't he's the first dog that I've owned. I had a childhood dog. It's just a little bit different, right? When really your parents are the providers of that dog. And so for me to have, you know, the full responsibility of the health and well-being of this being was new to me, but really special. And I don't have children. And, you know, he, in so many ways, is, I mean, I will not be that person to say he's just like my child. Of course he's not. He's a dog. But I feel that sense of love for him, and I feel that in return. And he's, because he's in high endurance breed, that's one reason I got him, because I am a runner and I wanted a dog that I could run with. And so he has gone on almost every run with me in the last 9 years.
Wow.
With the exception of, you know, him being injured, or now that he's aging, he can't always do the longer distances.
Sure.
I have to be careful about that. But he has been my running partner for 9 years.
Wow.
And that's really special. And
so he could have gone at his peak 10, 15, 20 miles, no sweat.
Yeah, I think his max is around a half marathon.
Okay.
Oh my gosh.
13 miles.
And it's about my max too, probably.
Yeah. And he can...
minus a few miles.
He could probably still do it today, but I have to be careful with his aging joints. And so that's one way in which I think he contributes to my well-being, because even if I don't feel like going for a run, I know that he wants to. Mm-hmm. And in addition to running, I, of course, walk him a lot. And I live in the city in an apartment. I don't have a yard. And so that requires a lot of outdoor time and a lot of walks, which even though it can be not the most fun in the middle of winter when it's dark and cold and raining, it's still a necessity. I can't get around it. And I have a partner who helps care for him, but he just relocated for work. And so now I'm back to being the sole caretaker, which is interesting. And it causes certainly some stress having every morning, every afternoon, yeah, every evening, I'm the only person.
Sure.
And I need to walk him. But it gets me outside, it gets me in nature, and I know I'm getting exercise out of it every single day.
Yeah.
That means that no matter what, every day I'm getting exercise,
yeah,
in some form, and I think that can go a long way.
Yeah. So for runners, endurance runners, you would recommend a dog like Goose again, perhaps?
Yeah, and I think one unfortunate thing with pointers, I think a lot of people will rescue them or get them from a breeder and think they're beautiful dogs, but they're not for everyone because they require a lot of exercise. And if they don't get it, they're not very happy and they can be destructive and,
yeah,
have behavior issues and separation anxiety. And so if you're an active person or a hunter and you're using the dog for that purpose, that's great, because they do get a strong sense of purpose from that. So I certainly recommend anyone getting a German Shorthair pointer if they can care for them in the proper way. You know, shepherds,
sure,
Australian shepherds can be great running dogs. There's a lot of breeds that are good runners,
yeah,
but I always caution people to really know the type of animal that they're,
yep,
adopting and to make sure it suits the lifestyle.
Yep.
And he was a perfect match,
yeah,
for me.
That's awesome, Erin.
Yeah.
That's amazing. As someone who has a brand new Labradoodle, Australian Labradoodle, and Molly, I am not as much of a runner as I am a walker and a cyclist on my Peloton spin bike. And so having Molly and getting to a point where she can go on longer,
yeah,
walks with me, 2-3 miles in morning to me is amazing. And I really look forward to that. So that's awesome. Thank you, Erin. Tracy, let's talk about your little one.
Yes. So I'm not a huge runner. So a cat is more my speed. And as an introvert, you know, a cat is definitely more my personality. And her name is Tilly. We rescued her from the cat adoption team about 3 years ago. We think she was 5 at that time, but her background is a little bit of a mystery, which has been really fun to just explore her personality and what that's going to be like. She's the first pet I've had on my own who we didn't get as a kitten or a puppy. So it's been kind of fun just learning a little bit about her and her learning about us. But, you know, like Erin said, it's just, she brings so much joy to my life. when I walk in through the door, there she is, come running. She makes these cute little squeak noises when she's running. And so, you know, she's her cute little face just greets me after a really long day. So it's just wonderful to have her. And, you know, as an introvert, I need my quiet time. So, you know, she's a huge cuddler and a 100% lap kitty. So as soon as I sit down, she's on my lap. Sometimes her claws, you know, hurt, but it's just great to have her on my lap and I'm reading or just chilling out, scrolling through my Instagram feed, you know, whatever it is that I need to do as an introvert to take care of myself, right? And so it's just been really great to have her, and she's the second cat we've had outside of, you know, we've had family pets when I was a kid, but she's the second one as an adult, I guess. I'm using air quotes for those. I sort of forgot this was a podcast. I mean, it's just really great, you know. And after our first cat passed away, it took me like about 10 months before I was ready for it, but I miss having a little furball.
Right.
You know, and she's super fun. She might have a little pointer in her. She loves running and chasing around the house. So, and so that's her favorite thing to do, is we play chase around the house.
That's sweet.
Which matches, you know, chasing the sun.
Chasing the sun, yes, so. Chasing around. I love it. You need to have a little sun in the middle of the room.
Exactly.
The common theme is that obviously we cannot see lives without our pets, and they help give us perspective, I imagine, and to no matter what's going on throughout the day. I think the other interesting thing that I've realized just in the short time I've had Molly is just by managing her, and I mean that in the nicest way possible, but she's a puppy, so it's a lot of management. It's a lot of getting up, and she's going outside to use the bathroom. She's running around. She has all this energy. I'm standing up, I'm moving, I'm burning calories just by managing her. And I talk a lot about this with clients and in various podcast episodes that I've done in the past, that just by living and breathing, we are burning energy. And it's just another reminder that even if I don't get an exercise in, like having Molly over the last week or so, I've reduced the amount of time I've actually had to go on walks and stuff like that, because it's been a lot to manage. But I've also reminded myself that I'm spending a lot of time managing this dog, and I'm burning a lot of calories. And so that's just my message that I think relates to everything else that I talk about, is that even if you don't get a quote unquote full exercise routine in, you're still spending a lot of calories, you know, walking around, moving around. I just think that's important no matter what, you know.
So. And I'll add I focused on the physical benefits of Goose, but the emotional benefits of pets, and you think of, you know, service dogs and therapy dogs and cats and a variety of different animals that now serve as therapy animals. But there's so much that additional benefit beyond the physical that comes with owning a pet, and that sense of happiness and, you know, giving to an animal and that feels really good, right? To be caring for an animal in that way and keeping them healthy and all of that good stuff. So I think the emotional benefits are pretty significant.
Absolutely.
As well.
Yeah, and there are tons of studies about that, right? And for me, like I said, it, you know, she calms me down after a long day, and I do yoga a lot, and she does yoga with me.
That's
or rather
really
gets
sweet.
In my way.
Gets in your way. That's really sweet.
Yeah.
They love their humans, right?
They do.
And to your point, no matter what's happening, that they you know, rely on you, but they also love and are very attentive.
They want to be around us.
Exactly. You know? Exactly. They love that attention. Yeah. So we can probably talk about our pets all day, and I'm sure we could organically come back to that at some point.
This will be a five-part
series. I want to talk about your respective careers and you both have come from different, not only physically parts of the country, but also your careers, and talk about some of the differences between, I think, Aaron, you coming from the East Coast and coming here to the West Coast, coming to work in higher ed, Tracy, your time working on the media side, coming to on the communications side, coming to OHSU, one part hospital, one part education, and talk about some of the differences and challenges and tips you have for people who are interested in careers in your respective areas. Tracy, should we start with you?
Sure. So going from media to PR and communications was a challenge in that I only knew one element within communications, right? It's, as anyone in the communications world know, there are lots and lots of ways to be a communicator. And so media relations was one element. So I had this huge gap in knowledge that I knew I had to fill. And I did that through Public Relations Society of America. So I quickly joined and participated in events, and also started my accreditation process to become accredited in public relations, APR. And so knowledge base-wise, that helped fill the gap. At the same time, it was also helping me connect with professionals, some of whom have also gone through that same journey of going from media to communications. And unfortunately, like I said, I landed at Make-A-Wish, and so they provided me with a lot of space to grow and to learn and to explore as well. So I just attended the heck out of workshops, yeah, anything I can get a hold of, webinars, and just did a lot of research, so on that knowledge side. And then on the people side, again, it was attending networking events, whether it was through PRSA or through another organization. And then having lots of coffee.
Yeah.
So yeah. It was very wired, the early part of my communication career. And that was really, really important part, yeah, of all of that, and getting adjusted. And just not being afraid to try things.
Yeah.
And that was what was great about Make-A-Wish, was that they gave me that freedom to try.
Yeah.
Whether it worked or not, you know, as long as I learned from that experience and grew from that, that was really important. And I think that experience set me up for my work here at OHSU, where, you know, to be honest, I started and it was kind of thrown in the deep end of the pool, right? It's a large institution with a lot of work to be done, and there wasn't a ton of time for training or for whatnot. So. And so my experience at Make-A-Wish really set me up for success here, and that was really important. And asking questions, you know, not being afraid to ask for help. And for a long time, that was a struggle for me as a type A communicator, quasi perfectionist. You know, it was hard to admit my vulnerabilities and to ask for help. But that's definitely something that I'm learning and trying to work on for me, you know, work on that, yeah, that vulnerability side.
Yeah, I appreciate that. Yeah. And you're being vulnerable here. So, talk about vulnerabilities. What surprised you? Maybe a couple things surprised you from your transition from the media side to public relations communications. What didn't you realize about this industry that required you to come over to this side for you to realize, I didn't realize that? Was there anything in particular?
I think the biggest surprise was the business element of it. I was sheltered from much of that working in media because there were people who were dealing with that aspect. But when I came into communications, there was a lot more business, administrative, and quite frankly, politics.
Mm.
You know, to have to navigate.
Yep.
And that's not unique to, you know, any one particular company or organization. That's just a fact of life. And so learning to navigate that, and you know, fortunately I consider myself pretty personable, and so able to bridge and build relationships, you know, that's really, really key. Yeah. And relationships take time. Yeah. To build.
Yep.
And so when you go from working in one industry for 15 years, and now I have to build new relationships in a different industry, While that's not surprising, but it does take time and energy to do.
Yeah, absolutely. Erin?
Sure. So I have a degree, I have 2 degrees. One is in broadcasting, broadcast production. I thought I wanted to go into television production, but I never actually worked in that aside from a couple of internships in college. I was a competitive swimmer for 15 years, including college. And so I kind of drank the Kool-Aid with collegiate athletics, and I got super involved.
What was your main event? You're a sprinter, long distance?
I was sprint to mid distance, breaststroke and freestyle. Yes. So I was very involved as a student athlete, beyond just being a swimmer, but I was, you know, a leader of a student athlete organization and then advanced to a national position representing my athletic conference. And so I decided I want to go into athletic administration. This is what I want to do the rest of my life. So I pursued that for a little while and worked in collegiate athletics in communications. I worked in sports information, and then I did some marketing event promotion, and I was able to get a grad assistant position at a school on the East Coast to pursue my master's degree and work in the athletic department. And so it served me very well. I'm extremely grateful for those opportunities. But after working in collegiate athletics for a few years, I realized maybe it wasn't quite the direction I wanted to head in. And concurrently,
it seems like a very cool, sexy thing to do, right? But depending on...
It's extremely long hours,
yeah,
and nights and weekends, yeah, because you are expected to be, yep, at the competitions, yep, in addition to working, you know, your day job. And it's not that money is everything, but... can take a while to really make a good,
sure,
living doing that. So concurrently in my master's degree, I got an internship at a PR agency, a small boutique agency, and it opened my eyes to the world of PR. I didn't really understand what it was, truth be told, even though I was studying, I was getting a master's in communications. Until I was in it and living it in an agency setting, I was like, oh, this is what I want to do. And it was a boutique agency, so I had a great opportunity to work with a variety of clients in a couple of different capacities, even at an internship and then an associate account exec level. And it really opened the door for me, and I left athletics behind. And since then, I've only worked in marketing communications in some capacity earlier on, more in PR, media relations type of work, communications. Now in my role, I'm a little more focused on the marketing side, but certainly a lot of communications, more traditional PR included in that. And so I have worked for such a wide variety of organizations, from, you know, nonprofits to government to private. And it's been great. I guess you could consider me the quintessential millennial job hopper, but I would not change that for anything, because I learned what I want to do and also what I don't want to do through all of these job changes. I've had a lot, yeah, but it's all, like Tracy said, I think it all led me to this place here at PSU, where I'm so happy and I've advanced into a leadership position that it stretches me every, yeah, day, being in, you know, director level management role that's new and different to, sure, me, but I'm enjoying it so much, and I've taken so much from all of these different roles, sure, over the last 20 years that have made me successful, yep, in this role today.
That wraps up part one of our 2-part conversation with Tracy Lamb and Erin Mers. This is Mark Mohammadpour with Chasing the Sun, MarkMoh on Instagram and Twitter, ChasingTheSunPDX.com. Email me at mark@ChasingTheSunPDX.com. Part two comes next week. Thank you all for listening. Thank you, Tracy and Erin, for your time. Those in the United States, have a wonderful, safe, and happy Thanksgiving. And we'll see you next week. Thanks for listening.